Today I will be reading from Philippians 4, 4 through 9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whether you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you.
Look, I can be a cert. Now my whole house is great. I can do anything good. I like my school. I like anything. I like my dad. I like my cousins. I like my aunts. I like my Allisons. I like my mom. I like my sisters. I like my dad.
That was a YouTube that came out, oh gosh, I don't know, time flies so fast, maybe it'd been about 3 or 4 years ago that was sort of making the rounds. But I thought of it when I was thinking of this sermon for this morning, which is focusing hopefully on the idea of the positive and the gratitude we are called to, really. And the scripture this morning is a reminder of that. When Paul says, rejoice always. And then he emphasizes, he says, again, I say rejoice. So when you're looking at that clip there, that YouTube clip, what words, what did you see, what did you hear, what was embodied in that little 3-year, 4-year-old kid? Joy. Exuberance. Is that what I heard? Yep. Yep. What was it? Confidence. Yep. Yeah, I mean, it is a lot of things, you know, and it's all positive, you know, optimism, enthusiasm, innocence, pure unjadedness, hopefulness, gratitude, self-confidence, and also a little sense of vulnerability, especially when she's jumping off the counter. I was like, next thing you know, she's going to be crying. And that's how kids are. One minute they're just full of it, full of wonder and joy, and the next minute, because they're so pure, they're crying. And that's vulnerability. I saw that and more in this little child, as the expression goes, out of the mouth of babes, or from the words of Isaiah, where Isaiah says, a child will lead them. And I hope this text that Logan read from Philippians and this visual input on the screen just now will come as a much needed reminder, I think, or a reorientation for our troubled minds. Certainly after this election, a great deal of our divided nation is still and will be very unsettled. And so we have to navigate through that as a people of faith. We are clearly albeit unnecessarily divided and angry and a fearful populace right now. That's the season of this, and let's hope it passes. It doesn't need to be so, but tragically, as unbridled rhetoric has flown out like swarms of blood-sucking gnats, we are a damaged nation, but we will hopefully heal. Within the context in which we find ourselves, we need a spiritual realignment, I think. Do you agree? Is there some kind of a sense of we need some spiritual uplifting? And is there an amen to that? All right. Okay. I agree. We need to rebaptize ourselves. Maybe when we're standing in the shower in the morning, if you take a morning shower, think of it as a baptism. With prayerful thanksgiving and hope and determination not to be defeated. We need a reminder that the Spirit of God is the Spirit of indomitable and outrageous hope and possibility. This is, after all, as I said, the season of thanksgiving. Well, we know we just can't slap a big happy face over the current sad, uncivil state of affairs we find ourselves in. That would be, if I tried to do that, I think that would be bad preaching and it might be bad faith. But likewise, I think it would be bad faith if we were to forget that we are the people of the resurrection. That is the essence of our faith. The great hope of the Christian faith is that death and meanness and cruelty do not get the last word despite evidence to the contrary at times. Our call is to walk faithfully in the light of the Holy Spirit. Act upon that faithfulness and then watch the evidence change. God, through you and I, can change the world, but first we cannot let the messed upness in the world of this world change us. I have no illusions that we, again, I got to say it again, we are facing a heightened sense of meanness and bigotry and people being left out for no reason other than by which social group they happen to be associated with, but that should only heighten our sense of call right now. The spirit of great and hopeful joy and a good dash, I think, a little bit of righteous anger, that can truly change the world. We are a people, right now, divided by tribal labels. We've just been Democrat, Republican, Independent, Liberal, Conservative, Rural, Urban. This should not be. We who claim Jesus as Lord, we need to hold to these. We need to hold these pseudo distinctions lightly. Those are because they're labels that divide us. But we, as followers of Christ, we're in the reconciliation business. I've said that before, and we've been focusing on that quite a bit. Reconciling. We are in the business of building, not destroying. We are in the business of healing societies, sicknesses. We are in the business of standing with the oppressed. We are in the business of speaking truth to power. We are in the business of serving generous helpings of goodwill and kindness as a radical and defiant answer to the divisions and strife that are rendering and bleeding this planet into shreds. We are defiantly joyful. Another oft-quoted cliche is, as a man thinketh. The idea being that character follows thought. If one's focus on fear and anger and who do I need to be afraid of, who do I need to vanquish and conquer, then that will shape our character and our actions. If, however, daily and always we focus on whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, whatever is excellent and praiseworthy, we will be well prepared, I think, equipped to do battle with that which we know to be dirty and wrong and twisted in this world. We will engage the devil with the tools of the Spirit of God, joy, love, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control, to use the words from Galatians. And I don't think that's an exhaustive list either. You can think of some other virtues that are a part of the spirit of reconciling this world. We will surround ourselves with people who support us and affirm us in that spirit. When I consider that YouTube clip we just saw at the beginning, I see someone or something to protect. I see someone to protect from misogyny and cruelness. I also see original goodness that is all too soon challenged by a society that seems to crush the life sometimes out of goodness too quickly. I see that in this little girl, someone who, if protected by a loving community, hopefully will maintain that beautiful spirit and who will someday be strong and loving and a compassionate adult. I see in that little girl someone whom Christ loved and cherished and said, to these belong the kingdom of God. I see in that little girl you and I and every person born on this planet, a unique, beautiful creation filled with potential and goodness. It's a song, I don't hear it sung so much anymore, but it's a great Sunday school song. Yellow, red, and black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. No one is left out, no one. In the kingdom of God, yes, on earth, as Jesus said, as in heaven, there is no us versus them. There is no winners versus losers. There's just God's beautiful children, and we are the stewards of those children and of that future, all children. In 4 days from now, people in this nation will gather together with family and friends for Thanksgiving. My youngest daughter says that, hands down, Thanksgiving is her favorite holiday. And I would have to agree. I really love Thanksgiving. And ideally, Thanksgiving, the Thanksgiving table, is nothing less than a living metaphor for the kingdom of God. We believe in this kingdom, and we long for this kingdom, and we work for this kingdom. We are people of one tribe with, if you want to use the Thanksgiving table metaphor, we are one tribe, one family, various characters for sure, unique stories, differing perspectives, but we're all sitting down together to share a common meal at a common table. Ideally, this feast would be filled with laughter and story and conversation, though sometimes, even in the best families, maybe not as much as we would like. This season, though, more than ever, I think is rehearsal for the great banquet to which we will all someday be invited to partake. So let us consider these words of Paul offered in the Philippian church, to the Philippian church. Paul tells us to hold fast to this amazing, one might even say defiant, spirit of joy. Whatever, he says, again, is noble, whatever is true, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable. Affirm these things in one another. If you are gathered at the Thanksgiving table and things, and you're lacking for things to share or talk about, or things seem to be maybe going in a direction that might not be so happy, just start asking questions, people. Have them tell them their story a little more, things about them you never knew. Ask them what have you learned in life, or how do you want to be remembered, or what's your experience about? Because nobody can dispute a story. I mean, it's not an opinion. It's your story. So tell stories at Thanksgiving time. I want to end by just saying, may God grant us the spirit to embody Jesus' great love toward one another. And may the spirit of affirmation and listening and laughter be with you this season around that table of thanksgiving. And may the spirit of thanksgiving be one that keeps you safe and strong and courageous. Amen.